WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Tuesday, January 19th, 2016. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all as we will be inviting Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer in Atlanta, Georgia. That's right, the ATL for CBS Radio. Deshaun is going to join us on the show to talk about, that's right, college hoops and who he thinks has the best shot of maybe taking this thing all the way come March, right? Can't believe it's about to be February in just, what, like 10 or so days. But Deshaun is going to also chat about how powerhouses in the game, like Duke, who's really, really struggling. You know, number one Oklahoma falling to Iowa State last night. And just really how there's really no clear-cut number one team in the game right now. And also, of course, give his thoughts on the state of the MSU men's basketball team. We'll also chat about the Tigers signing a pretty big bat and left fielder, I should say, in Justin Upton. We'll also, of course, have Pistons talk for you as they fell to Chicago Bulls yesterday afternoon on Martin Luther King Day. And Michigan State going after a Michigan commit. All of that and so much more. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this January 19th. Michigan State has decided to bring some late drama to the recruitment of Cass Tech's Michael Anwino, a four-star offensive lineman who committed to Michigan last June. Anwino, who made an official visit to Michigan during the past weekend, early Monday on Twitter, he revealed that the Spartans had offered him. And 247 Sports reports he plans to take a visit to Michigan State this weekend. Michigan State is making the late push because, yes, it needs the offensive line help, something that Mark D'Antonio noted last week during his end-of-year press conference. Michigan State men's basketball falls to number 11 after losses to Iowa and now ranked number 9 with Iowa, which is ranked number 9 right now, I should say, and Wisconsin. Michigan remains without a vote after beating then number 3 Maryland and losing to Iowa. Oklahoma becomes the fifth school to be number one this season, joining North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Kansas. The Sooners were beat last night by Iowa State. Again, folks, keep it locked right here. Again, we'll be talking with college basketball columnist and reporter Deshaun Tate to get his thoughts on the college basketball world. Michigan State's women's basketball team concludes its brief two-game homestand against Rutgers today, at 6 p.m. The game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. Michigan State is 13-4 overall and 4-2 in Big Ten games so far this season, while Rutgers is 12-6 and 3-3 in Big Ten play. The Scarlet Knights are 12-6 overall and 3-3 in Big Ten action, having won two of their last four games. And we'll be giving tickets away to that game right here on the show. Keep it locked. The Detroit Pistons fell to the Chicago Bulls at home yesterday afternoon. 111-101, the final of that one. Ersan Ilyasova had 19 points and 10 rebounds for Detroit, which was outplayed after taking a 13-point lead in the first quarter. The Pistons also lost their cool, getting called for three technical fouls in the third. Detroit guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope received two of them and, yes, was ejected. Paul Gasol, he poured in 31 points and 12 boards. The Pistons will play at Houston tomorrow night. The Detroit Tigers and free agent outfielder Justin Upton have agreed to a six-year deal worth, get this, $132.75 million. The contract includes an opt-out after the second year, which would allow Upton to go back on the market as a free agent at age 30. A three-time All-Star, the 28-year-old spent the past season with the San Diego Padres and batted .251 with 26 homers and 81 RBIs. More on that in just a sec. The Winter Caravan for the Detroit Tigers is Thursday and Friday, and Tiger Fest is Saturday at Comerica Park, and Bruce Rondon has been scratched from attending. Rondon is currently recovering from a virus, which is transmitted by mosquitoes. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's website, the virus is transmitted to people by mosquitoes, and the common symptoms are fever and joint pain. So Bruce Rondon will not be a part of the Detroit Tigers Winter Caravan. LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony are a step closer to a fourth Olympics, and Steph Curry is in position for his first. The NBA stars were among 30 players selected Monday as finalists for the U.S. basketball team that will attempt in Rio de Janeiro to win a third straight gold medal. Also making the cut are Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond and former Spartan star Draymond Green, who, of course, is now with the Golden State Warriors. And last but not least, former Chicago Bulls assistant Johnny Bach sadly died Monday at the age of 91. The basketball lifer coached for 56 years and was an integral part of Phil Jackson's coaching staff during the organization's first three-peat from 1991 to 1993. Bach was also the head coach of the Golden State Warriors from 1983 to 1986 before joining the Bulls as an assistant. He also worked as an assistant for Charlotte, Detroit, and Washington. He returned to the Bulls in 2003 and retired in 2006 after more than a half century in coaching. Bach will certainly be missed. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. So much to talk about, so little time. It's about that time to start the show.
Everybody thought that he or Yoenis Cespedes could be next on the board after Chris Davis signed with Baltimore the other day. And the Tigers were a team that was thought maybe could jump in on him for a short deal, like 1 or 2 years. But Mike Ilitch is a guy who he's going for it. He's not rebuilding. And you add him to a lineup with Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, Ian Kinsler, J.D. Martinez, right on down the line. This is a team that's really going to mash the ball. And they also get Jordan Zimmerman earlier this year for their pitching. So they're a team that didn't do well last year, but looks like they're going to be right in the thick of it again this season.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Tuesday. Hope the week is treating you well. It's nice to see the sun out, right? Yeah, sun is shining. The birds are chirping. The snow is kind of melting. Not really, though. Still cold outside. 17 degrees, according to my car dashboard, right? Still cold, but it's nice to see the sun out nonetheless. Folks, the phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. What you just heard was during that, of course, this montage we're playing was the voice of Jerry Krasnick. He is an ESPN baseball reporter who was brought in on ESPN upon hearing the breaking news that the Detroit Tigers agreed to a 6-year, $132.75 million deal with the Detroit Tigers. Big move. Big move. One that I absolutely adore. Now, again, you can debate and you may have some quarrels with the amount of money that Justin Upton is getting paid. Again, $132.75 million is a lot of moolah through the course of 6 years. The good thing is that Justin Upton right now is in his prime. Again, he's a three-time All-Star, 28 years old. He spent last year with the San Diego Padres. He batted .251 with 26 homers and 81 RBIs. This is a great move because, first off, it sends the message to Detroit Tigers fans out there that this organization still has a win-now mentality, something that certainly was questioned when looking at how last year ended. Just a tough year for the Tigers last year, folks. Really, really tough year. And again, you bring in this guy. He's a powerful force at the plate, offers protection to the team's biggest potential pitfall, in my opinion, entering this year, that being the health of 37-year-old designated hitter Victor Martinez. We all know V-Mart, just really tough situation with him. Twice surgically repaired left knee that really appeared to take a hit when it comes to his numbers. Career low numbers for V-Mart last season. But now you have a lineup that includes Upton, Martinez, second baseman Ian Kinsler, first baseman Miguel Cabrera, and right fielder J.D. Martinez, excuse me. And that's fantastic. I mean, that will certainly be the most scary lineup in the NL. Well, I should say in the AO, excuse me, on a nightly basis. There's no better lineup in the American League when you look at those names. Upton, Martinez, Kinsler, Cabrera, J.D. Martinez. I mean, that's mind-boggling, right? So this was a great move. And again, you know, this is Mike Ilitch, you know, really putting his money where his mouth is. Doubled down on the payroll that is sure to exceed the $189 million luxury tax limit. But this is a great move because, again, if the Tigers want to compete for a World Series, it's now and not later. And this is an upcoming year in which many expect Justin Verlander to not have the season that he had last season. He'll be healthier. Miguel Cabrera, you know, his injuries have certainly been noted. And it's really amazing when watching Miguel Cabrera play because even though he did have those injuries, the injuries that he's been battling through the past 2 years now, he's still efficient. And he's just a freak of nature. He's still ridiculously efficient for this team. And, you know, looking at what this team also did, I mean, bringing in Jordan Zimmermann, of course, which was noted by Jerry Krasnick in that montage. You know, you bring in an arm like his, you know, and also Al Avila beefing up the bullpen, trying to bring in a lot of back-end arms to strengthen that bullpen, which has been a question mark for year, for year after year after year after year. So I'm feeling good about this move. Really feeling good about this move. And also, you know, Yoenis Cespedes, he's on the free agent mark now. Alex Gordon. You know, those are some of the big names out there. But getting Justin Upton, you make a huge splash. And you beef up your team and say that, hey, we want to compete for a World Series and the time is now. This move makes Detroit an automatic World Series contender. And they really have no excuse now moving forward. No excuse. If the Tigers go out and have a ho-hum year and don't make legitimate noise in the playoffs, they just can't make the playoffs here, folks. Again, it's World Series or bust for this team. It has been that. We've heard that montage now throughout the last 2 years, at least for this team. If they go out this year with a whiff, it's going to get really, really ugly. But again, sticking with the positive here, this is a solid, solid move. The Tigers, again, hoping to rebound from that subpar 2015. Justin Upton, you know, several of his 2015 stats were his worst in years, though. When looking at, you know, 2015 for him, his OBP, on base percentage, .336. That's his worst since 2007. Batting average of .251, worst since 2008. Looking at his line drive percentage, 17.8, worst since 2011. But still, looking at what he brings to the table, Justin Upton, he can certainly put the bat on the ball and is clearly an efficient player. He's still, when you look at his stats for 2015, they still can stack up with some of the best in the league, without a doubt. So for me, I like the move. And I've you know, tried to put my finger on the pulse of Tiger fandom to read the different message boards out there, you know, glued to my laptop online last night to hear what people had to say about this move. And a lot of people, you know, for the most part, a lot of people are happy with this move. Because, again, it sends the message the Tigers want to win now. They like Justin Upton's game. He's certainly a talented player. And in his prime, 28 years old. But on the flip side, there's other people that look at that money and say, okay, 6 years? $132.75 million? Longevity for 6 years with Justin Upton? We don't know. I mean, what if, you know, during his, like, third or fourth season, those numbers drastically change? I mean, is it worth $132.75 million? I mean, and that's the debate you can have with any of these big-time, big-signing moves with any player out there. So, again, you know, Upton, he spent his entire, actually, career in the National League. He has hit .324 in 9 games at Comerica Park. That is his third best batting average in any stadium in which he has played in a minimum of 5 games. So he likes Comerica Park. But I, at the end of the day, I thought this was the right move. I want to invite right now our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, how you doing, brother?
Doing well, Al. Yeah, I like this move as well. You know, when the Tigers traded Yoenis Cespedes at the deadline, we all wondered if his interest in re-signing was legitimate. Because that was the rumor at the time, that Yoenis Cespedes eventually wanted to come back. But when you have a player of his caliber, of his talent, you always wonder, well, what if he explodes somewhere else? What if he gets offered more money from a bigger market? And we all knew that was a possibility when the Tigers traded him. So I think this is a great move for the Tigers because, yes, I would have loved Yoenis Cespedes back, but at the same time, after the season he had last year for the Mets, I didn't think that was realistic heading into the offseason. I thought he had a chance to be an NL MVP playing only half a season in that league. So the fact that the Tigers were able to bring in a comparable replacement in Justin Upton, I think it's fantastic. This guy's also a good fielder, which is really a big part of what the Tigers need to build around, considering the fact that sometimes, I mean, the infield can have a few of those struggles. So, I mean, the Tigers, I think they made all the right moves with Justin Upton. I don't think the salary is that outrageous either. The only problem, like you mentioned, is injuries. If somebody gets hurt, then that's a problem. But that's the risk you take with any of these players. I think it's a step forward for the organization.
Well, again, when looking at the contract, again, it includes in the contract an option to opt out after the second year. So at 30, he could go back on the free agent market and go to another team. And so that is also an option in this contract, which I like. And, you know, when looking at this move, though, I think it also sends a message, going back to my original point, that, again, owner Mike Ilitch is not afraid to spin. This move is likely going to put the Tigers at the luxury tax threshold, without a doubt. But it sends the message that he wants to win now, and he realizes the urgency that this team is not getting younger at the end of the day. These players like a Justin Verlander, like a Miguel Cabrera, certainly like a Victor Martinez, I mean, these players aren't getting any younger, and their efficiency, and which we've seen, especially last year, is dwindling a bit. But when you bring in a guy like Justin Upton, who can sort of pad those stats as the year moves on, the Tigers can still be legitimate title contenders, I should say. So I like this move a lot. What do you think about it, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, I might as well pose this out there right now as the show moves on. Of course, tonight, the Michigan State women's basketball team, they will be in action taking on Rutgers at 6 p.m., at the Breslin Center. Michigan State right now is 13-4 overall, 4-2 in Big Ten play. The Scarlet Knights, 12-6, 3-3 in Big Ten action. They have won 2 of their last 4 games. And again, each and every, you know, home game for the Michigan State men's and women's basketball team, we are giving away a pair of tickets. That's right, a pair of tickets for you to go out and enjoy the game. But we got to make you earn them, okay? We just don't give them away to you. So if you want to win tickets to tonight's game, MSU women's basketball versus Rutgers, 6 p.m. tip time, here is your trivia question. Right now, when looking at, I guess you can say, you know, Michigan State's last home game this past weekend, I want you guys to list the top three scores from that game. Again, when looking at Michigan State's women's basketball team in their last home game that they had, their last game, I should say, if you can list the top three scores of that game, you will win tickets to check out Rutgers and MSU tonight, 6 p.m. Again, they play Iowa this past Saturday. It was an 80-73 win. We all know one name that was certainly on that list. But list the top three scores, and you will win tickets to tonight's game. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Moving along now, sticking with college basketball talk. And again, later on the show, in about 10 minutes, we'll be chatting with Deshaun Tate, who is the men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer, and the ATL in Atlanta, Georgia, for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game out there. Let's talk MSU men's hoops right now, because the Michigan State men's basketball team, they dropped, as expected, to number 11 in the AP Top 25 after losses to Iowa, which is now ranked number 9, and Wisconsin. Back-to-back losses for the MSU men's basketball team. Again, the first time we've seen this team lose back-to-back games since near the end of last year, February of last year to be exact. And that certainly was a rallying point for the Spartans, as they went on to just lose two games from there on out. But not really a surprise for me, because, again, of the losses, back-to-back losses to Iowa and Wisconsin, we knew Michigan State would drop. And now moving forward, there are a lot of people out there that are a bit worried about where this team is currently headed. I will say this, and you know, I really think that we didn't actually go in depth on this yesterday when really evaluating yesterday's show and breaking down Michigan State's losses to Iowa and Wisconsin. But the loss of now Tum Tum Nearin Jr. Tum Tum is out indefinitely right now. He's been dealing with that plantar fasciitis, and finally, you know, the medical staff has shut him down to heal. And we've seen it throughout this season. I mean, Tum Tum just hasn't really been effective when it comes to the offensive end more so. And that's been really the storyline for him now in his, second year with the team. But I think this is a bigger loss than many people think it's going to be, Isaac, because Tum Tum, okay, he may not be a guy that comes out there and really fills it up when it comes to, you know, the stat sheet and the points column. But at the end of the day, Tum Tum is a solid guard who can come in and manage a basketball game. With Tum Tum being out now, you know, you really have just, two pure point guards out on the floor for this team to manage the basketball game, to get guys involved. What Tum Tum brought to the table and what he brings to the table is he's tremendous when it comes to the fast break. He's great at seeing the floor. He's very speedy. So, again, going back to the fast break, I mean, when he's on the fast break, I mean, he's so quick at getting up and down that he creates other opportunities for his teammates who run with him, and he can also from time to time occasionally take the ball to the basket on the break and score. With that now being absent, you rely on guys like, a Matt McQuaid. Valentine has to take a preeminent role now in not just scoring, but I think the load increases now when it comes to Valentine, because he has to play more of a point guard role while also trying to look for his shot. When Tum Tum's out there, it frees Valentine up to score. With him being out, this is going to slow this team down a bit. I do believe that.
Exactly. Well, it's going to slow them down in the fast break, because Tum Tum, like you mentioned, who's faster in college basketball? I mean, Tum Tum might not always have the finishing touch once he gets to the rim, but lets Izzo play the way he wants to, which is up and down the court, letting his players play with some freedom, play naturally, and they kind of lose that without Tum Tum, because as good as Valentine is, he's not the quickest. He's not the fleetest of foot. As good as Bryn Forbes is, he doesn't have the point guard qualities. As good as Aaron Harris is, he doesn't have the point guard instincts. And as good as Matt McQuaid is for a freshman, he's not as good as he was at the start of this season. We saw against Wisconsin, he tallied 0 points in his first, or in a role as a starting point guard. That's not necessarily what needs to happen. If a point guard's tallying 0 points, you expect a little more from them defensively, which Tum Tum gives you. Tum Tum's exactly a lockdown defender. And now Michigan State no longer has that. Now, no doubt, Bryn Forbes improved dramatically over the offseason with his defense. But Tum Tum just really locks down a defender. You and I mentioned yesterday how the five-second rule was eliminated from college basketball, 5 seconds without progressing towards the hoop when closely guarded by a defender. But Tum Tum still, by pressuring up against the offensive player, can cause some turnovers and get this team into the fast break, whether that's with an outlet pass to himself off a rebound or by forcing a turnover. So it's a big loss from MSU standpoint, because not only does it hurt them in terms of the defense, but it hurts them then catalyzing the offensive transition game as well.
Yeah, and that was my next point. As you mentioned, Isaac, I mean, Tum Tum, when he's out there, he can neutralize to a degree some of the best players that play the game of college basketball. He is that good of a defender, and not having him out there puts pressure on the personnel that is now trying to replace and fill that void of not having Tum Tum in the game. It puts a lot of pressure on them defensively as well. So, and I'm looking at a report here, you know, Tum Tum, he made a statement yesterday that he's not going to be for the rest of the season. He's just taking it one day at a time. He won't play against Nebraska on Wednesday at the Breslin Center. That's a 6:30 p.m. tip time. And but we just don't know when he's going to come back. So he will come back. It won't be for the rest of the. He's not going to be out for the done for the rest of the year. But he's just going to try to take this time and use this time to heal. Again, plantar fasciitis. Didn't really know what plantar fasciitis was until Tum Tum got this injury. And it was funny. I was talking to Tim Elkins, who was our current sports TV producer, and when we were out covering the Big Ten championship game for Michigan State this season. Tim and I, we were both out there, for that game between Michigan State and Iowa. And that's when Tum Tum was really started to just, that injury started to really, really get to him. And I was talking to Tim about it, and Tim actually is battling through plantar fasciitis. And he says it is just a pain in the tail.
How did he get it?
I have no idea. It's very, very common. Very common. It's actually, you know, looking it up, it's an unpredictable condition, which the tissue that connects the heel bone to the toes is inflamed and painful. It can last a long time or it can go away suddenly. So we'll see what happens with Tum. But yeah, Tim battles that right now. So okay. Yeah, something in common with Lou Rawls.
Yeah, I might need a little tune to remember that. You know, the type, like the heel bone is connected to
right.
The tail, or
but you know what, the heel is in the back though. So how does that connect to the toe?
That's why
I don't
wondering.
Know. That's
because
why we're
I was
not
trying
medical
to put
doctors.
It together. What does the heel connect to? I guess it like lower shin and things like that. But
right,
does
right.
that connect to the toe bone? Anyway, though. But
right.
Yeah, Tum Tum. I think it's also. I mean, it's just a huge loss for this team, and players that don't show up on the stat sheet sometimes are the most important ones. I think you see an example of that here. And then the question becomes, who replaces him? Do you stick with Matt McQuaid going forward for the next few games? Because he certainly had some growing pains as the season's progressed. Or do you try to go to Aaron Harris or Bryn Forbes, somebody who's not really a true point guard? So that's the next question that Izzo really has to deal with.
Yeah, well, we saw Harris and McQuaid come in and start during the last game. And I tell you what, Harris has been certainly a shining light. And has been certainly a spark plug for this team this season. I really love his game. McQuaid, we all know what he can do when it comes to shooting the ball, and he's a gritty defender. He's just a tough, tough player. I love McQuaid. But also, I think the player who has certainly improved when evaluating last season to this season, who has really stepped up in the absence of course, Denzel Valentine when he is out, and who has really the most consistent numbers, to me, has been Matt Costello. Matt Costello has been absolutely fantastic. And this is the thing about Matt. He has this knack. When he has a big game, Michigan State somehow has just lost. So, I mean, when Matt goes out and has these double-doubles, they don't, you know, his performance doesn't get shined, you know, to the degree that it should have, because Michigan State has just lost. So it's just bad luck on Matt Costello's end, because Matt Costello is trying his darnest right now and is really balling out for this team and has been so consistent. I think he deserves more attention and more discussion than he's been getting during this stretch for Michigan State. So I wanted to shout that out as well.
Well, he's had 15 points or more in 4 of his last 6 games.
He's been fantastic.
And you see that against teams with good post defense too, such as Iowa. So like you said, Matt Costello and Aaron Harris really come in alive as the season progresses to keep this team afloat.
Yeah, so again, the message out there to Spartan fans out there is don't panic right now. If you look at the entire realm of college hoops this season, I mean, everyone's getting beat right now. Everyone's beating up on each other. And we're going to go more in depth on the national scheme when looking at college hoops today with DeShaun Tate. After the break, DeShaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer in Atlanta, Georgia for CBS Radio. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. That you only meant well, cause you did what you said. Jason Derulo. That it's all for the best, cause it is. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, if you want to win tickets to tonight's Michigan State women's basketball game, they take on Rutgers at 6 p.m. Again, our trivia question for you to answer is, when looking at Michigan State's last game, it was actually a home game against Iowa over the weekend, a game in which the Lady Spartans won. A pretty fun game too. When watching, Ariel Powers, man, she good or what? An 80-73 win, Spartans over Hawkeyes. And I just gave you guys a hint when it comes to this answer. But anyway, if you can name the top three scores for the Spartans in that game, you will win tickets to check out that team take on Rutgers tonight. Again, a 6 p.m. tip time at the Breslin Center. 517-355-9527. Is the number to call in. You can give that answer to Isaac, and he'll let me know if we have a winner. In the meantime, let's talk men's college basketball. His name is DeShaun Tate. He is the men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and also a producer in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game. He's going to talk college hoops with us today. DeShaun, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
No problem, Al. Thanks for having me, man. It's a sunny day here in the ATL. I don't want to rub it in too much on you guys up there, getting a little bit of that chilly weather. But nevertheless, man, it's a great day in the ATL and a great day for college. A great week, man. Great couple months coming up for college basketball as we start transitioning from football into basketball season.
Gotta love that. I'm curious, what's the temperature out in the ATL right now? Is it in the 60s? I would assume.
Yeah, it's about somewhere in the mid-60s, early 60s, mid-60s. Still got some of that breeze coming through, a little bit of that wind kind of make things chill out just a little bit more.
DeShaun Tate, he also does the weather, folks. He does it all. There's nothing he doesn't do, all right? DeShaun, you being from East Lansing, though, what I find pretty cool is when looking at your journey to the ATL, out in Atlanta again, now working with CBS Radio, 92.9 The Game. First off, I love to do this with our first-time guest here on the show. Being from East Lansing, tell us about your background growing up here in Michigan, and how did you end up down there?
Well, like you said, I'm originally from Lansing, Michigan, and I guess for me, it got to a point where it was time to just kind of make a change and do something different. I've always studied sports my entire life and have always went and checked out that Lansing State Journal and that Detroit Free Press and always, read a whole lot of different articles and such from Joe Rexroad and Jack Ebling and some of those guys. And it just always inspired me. And I said, you know what, let's get ready to try and take this elsewhere and go out of town. Atlanta ended up the place that I ended up at and have been just kind of rolling ever since, man. I'm actually a graduate of Walter French Academy. I had a little stint at Waverly High School with Marcus Taylor, somebody you're probably very familiar with.
Yes.
Went to high school with him and then went from there to Sexton, ended up finishing at Walter French. Always been probably the biggest Michigan State guy that there is.
That's very cool stuff. And why Atlanta in particular? How did an opportunity roll, end up there, and how did you end up down there?
Well, there's just so many more opportunities in Atlanta than so many other places. And by all means, I'm definitely grateful for every opportunity that was given to me there in Lansing, Michigan, obviously where I'm from. But just decided to say, you know what?
I come here, $50 in my pocket, man, a week's worth of clothes, looking to get away for a whole week. Came here to visit, got my foot in the door with, you know, just a regular 9-to-5 job and just ended up staying and never went back home, man. Stayed here, and then I got my shot and doing some radio stuff, so I'm very thankful.
That's called going after what you want. Gotta love that. Now, what teams do you all cover at 92.9 The Game, and how would you compare the sporting culture down there to that of here in Michigan?
Well, I'll tell you what. As far as business for basketball, at least what I cover, It's a great place for venues, more or less than anything. It's more of a melting pot. You got so many different people from so many different places. You know this. You've been here to visit before, and you know it's just kind of one of those things where it is a football town. College Football Hall of Fame is here. You know, obviously everybody's really big on their UGA, University of Georgia, the Bulldogs, Georgia Tech, obviously in football as well as the Falcons, and, you know, behind that comes in, you know, the Hawks and so on and so forth, some golf, and, of course, some college basketball. So, you know, it's really good town for sports in general, but it is a football town. But somebody in this town has got to kind of push that college basketball landscape a little bit. So I want people to know when you think college basketball and you think Atlanta, Deshaun Tate is that guy. And so I do cover quite a bit of all college basketball, but obviously Georgia State and more or less than anything Georgia Tech and the University of Georgia.
And later on, we of course, are going to get an update from you when it comes to how Georgia and Georgia Tech have been producing on the hardwood this year. But I want to dive into first, just looking at the entire landscape of the college basketball world. Oklahoma gets ranked number one yesterday, Deshaun, and then falls to Iowa State. This is the fifth number one team to fall before the month of February. The last time that happened was back in 1949. Why is there no clear-cut number one this year?
Well, I believe that is so much parity in college basketball. Like you said, so many different teams had a shot at number one, from Oklahoma to Kansas to Michigan State and North Carolina. And if you think about it, the state of Iowa itself is really kind of making their names known and kind of being put on the map versus some of the other states in the United States. And I say that because North Carolina was the team to knock off the number one team in the country. In addition to that, they knocked off North Carolina, as Northern Iowa did, and of course knocking off Oklahoma was Iowa State, knocking off Michigan State when they were number one was Iowa. So they're just all kind of being put on the map. But I think it's just more than anything, it's more of the parity. Guys are going other places to play basketball, more than just the Kentuckys and Dukes and North Carolinas. And of course they get their fair share of recruits and top five-star recruits on a regular basis already as is. And I think that's another reason why you're seeing so much of the change up between Duke and Kentucky, because this is a year that they haven't necessarily had so many multiple and different various five-star recruits coming in. You're kind of seeing that effects of that right now.
So do you think the recruiting realm is sort of shifting in different areas as we speak?
Absolutely. I definitely think so. I mean, you think about it, you've got guys that are top five recruits going out there to Mississippi State. And, of course, Michigan State has their hands full with a ton of recruits. You know, they've loading up for next season. Arizona just got one in Kobe Simmons the other day, still trying to figure out where Josh Jackson is going to go. And, you know, guys are just kind of going different places. They're being more spread out versus the UCLAs and Kentuckys and Kansas of the world.
And why do you think that is so, Deshaun?
I think it's more or less because guys want to have an opportunity to make their own name at their own school. You know, it's kind of like when you finish your 4 years, or for a lot of these players, your 1 year or 2 years, they don't have an opportunity to get put in those record books, so to speak, and have their you know, their jerseys and their numbers retired in those arenas, because already enough, they already don't spend enough time at those schools. But even more so on top of that, everybody at that particular school that they decide to go to, you know, are all five-star recruits for the most part. People want to make a name for themselves so that when they decide to leave that school and go on and play in the NBA or overseas or in the developmental league, wherever it may be, they don't want to just be another, you know, uniform up there in the rafters along with all so many other greats. People kind of want to make their own name and have their own brand of the stamp that they put on that university.
Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer in Atlanta for CBS Radio. Deshaun, Duke has lost three in a row. all to unranked teams. The latest yesterday to the Q, Syracuse. The longest stretch of this kind since the 2006-2007 year. How alarming is this?
You know, the thing that you're seeing with Duke, and it seems like it's a huge surprise because we haven't seen this happen in such a long time, and we're not used to seeing it happen so consistently, you know, on a regular basis. But one thing about Duke that I will say is that, you know, make no mistake about it. You know, I've learned my lessons in the past, you know, from counting out Coach K, especially around the time when March starts rolling around. He's the nation's best coach by far, and that's for a good reason. He makes really good adjustments. It wouldn't surprise me if I saw them on the horizon to go to the Final Four. That's what kind of year that this, you know, that this is. But they've got a whole new part of their schedule coming up. They're on the road. They got three straight road games coming up after losing to Syracuse at home. We're not used to seeing Duke lose these kind of games at home, and that's why I think that it's so much more of a concern, because usually when we're used to seeing Duke lose, it's on the road, and they're losing games at home. Now they go to NC State. They go to Miami and play the Canes. They play at Georgia Tech, all three straight road games, and we haven't seen the high we've seen the high expectations of Chase Jeter, a top, you know, top recruit in the nation coming in this year as a freshman, but we haven't really seen the productivity. We have had an opportunity to see Luke Kennard and Ingram coming in and kind of, you know, stepping up and taking care of business on their end eventually, but they still lack the depth, and so much of that is in the front court.
So you still think, even though when looking at, again, three straight losses to unranked teams at Clemson on January 13th into two later games, Notre Dame and Syracuse last night, you still think, because it sounds like more so coming from just the trust that Coach K is Coach K. He makes adjustments. He's the best coach in college basketball. You still think, you know, it seems like that analysis is coming for more so from a faith perspective that Coach K does what Coach K does in March.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the reason why I say that is because Coach K is one of those type of coaches that it's really hard to kind of doubt him. There's a reason for why he's coached these Olympic teams so many consecutive years in a row and have, you know, coach all these big top NBA stars, and they've took home gold. These aren't guys that had to settle for silver and bronze. Now, of course, granted, you have to consider they've got so many of the different stars on their teams, from the Chris Pauls, the LeBron James, the Stephen Currys, and so on and so forth. But one thing you have to consider is that in college basketball, it's a coach's game. It's about the coaches that are able to get their teams prepared and ready for a long stretch. Coach K does that probably better than anybody else in the country. They won the national championship last year. So I think a big part of some of their losses, only some of them, is just the fact that everybody in the ACC, or even the non-conference schedule for that matter, has Duke scheduled, you know, circled on their schedule, and they've got the big targets on their back as they always have. I think that's another reason for some of the losses that they've taken. But like you said, out of faith, I've learned too many times, I've watched college basketball for way too long to count out Coach K, especially when it matters most.
Yeah, that is very, very true. Okay, so I got to ask this question again. The fifth number one team to fall before February, Oklahoma, losing to Iowa State last night. So I got to ask you, Deshaun, who is your number one in college basketball right now? Is it Oklahoma?
It's not Oklahoma. I think they was more of a one-man, not saying one-man team, but you hang your hat so much on senior Buddy Hield, and he's an outstanding basketball player and a very outstanding leader for that matter. So with that being said, you know, when teams can make adjustments and they can get stops and start focusing on Buddy Hield, you'll force guys like Ryan Spangler to hit outside jump shots, even though he's kind of one of those rough and rugged players that even up there in East Lansing, Tom Izzo likes those kind of guys, but he hasn't been nearly as productive. My number one right now has to be North Carolina, and that's even kind of scary to say because they're not the same North Carolina that we're used to seeing back when they won the national championship in 2005 and 2009. And I know that may hurt a little bit to those Michigan State fans, but they just don't have that. They have the talent, but it seems like some things have kind of changed up a little bit. In addition to some of the rules, I think they're the deepest team. I think they're the most talented team in the country. But some things still scare me about North Carolina, especially when you have a guy like Marcus Paige that's leading the helm. He's not exactly the toughest player that I've ever seen lead a North Carolina team to cut down net. So we'll see in April.
Okay, NC. Deshaun Tate's number one team in the nation right now. Again, Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer in the ATL for CBS Radio. Deshaun, I want you to kind of really just briefly break down the local teams that you cover out there. Georgia Tech, I believe they're 11-7 this year, while Georgia sits at 9-6. What's your assessment of how they have played this season?
Well, you know, Georgia and Georgia Tech haven't exactly been that college, but they're not known exactly for their college basketball. At least Georgia Tech is a little bit more than Georgia, but that's even taken a step back over the last few years. Georgia is actually coming around and being a much more a prominent college basketball program itself with the help of Mark Fox, their head coach, and we've seen them make it to the NCAA, at least make it to the NCAA tournament. Some we're not used to here in Atlanta and here in Georgia, you know, making that run at least to get that far. They at least made it last year. I think that was Michigan State last year, for a matter of fact, that ended up putting them out in the first round. So things are starting to come around at least a little bit more. But in Georgia Tech, I tell you what, the seat couldn't possibly be any hotter than it is right now for Brian Gregory, a name that people up there in East Lansing are very, very familiar with. I think the biggest thing and keys to the success of teams like these here in Atlanta is so hard for so many of these players to be kept at home and stay right here within their home state and play basketball. You know, as far as Georgia State goes, of course, they've got Kevin Ware, the guy who infamously happened to have break his leg in a very, very ugly fall.
Yeah.
Shooting a jump shot last season. And I'm sorry, the season before last, he's still there at Georgia State, and he's a senior now. So, you know, as far as for that conference alone in the Sun Belt, things will come around. They took a really bad loss the other night. As far as Georgia Tech goes, they've got to get to a point where they stop blowing leads and start feeding their big center in the middle, Jacobs, you know, kind of feeding them like a hungry, hungry hippo. Feed them a little bit more often, let them eat, send them to the line, and get a little bit more love from the charity stripe. As far as Georgia goes, they've got really, really good guard play, but they kind of lacking a little bit. They're a little thin in the middle up front.
Yeah, and Brian Gregory, going back to him, of course, he was an assistant for the Michigan State men's basketball team for 5 years, from 93 to 2003 under head coach Tom Izzo. And why hasn't, you know, you talk about Brian's seat being hot right now, Deshaun. Why hasn't Brian been able to cut the mustard out there so far?
Well, I would say one of the reasons behind that is, you know, you really just kind of got to get to a point where, like I said before, you got to keep some of these guys at home and to stay. And unfortunately, he's kind of settling for mediocre talent. It's really hard to recruit within the ACC alone. I mean, that's a tough job for any coach, no matter how big the name is. You know, they've taken some losses to some mediocre teams, and they've taken some losses to some bad teams. These are games that you have to be able to win when you're playing Georgia, and you're known as the basketball school in the state, and Georgia is known for the football team in the state. You know, you have to be able to get those kind of wins in those in-state rivalries. And not only that, I can understand if you're taking some losses from time to time against Duke and against North Carolina. North Carolina being a team that they played, and they kept it really close. When you play Duke, you got to be able to beat Duke. Duke's coming in here in a couple weeks at McCamish Pavilion, and Duke is very vulnerable right now, as we talked about earlier in the show. You have to be able to get those wins, if not fine, but against the Clemsons and the Wake Forests and the Virginia Techs of the world. Those are must-have wins. If you're not able to get those wins, then it's going to be a short-lived coaching career here in Atlanta for Brian Gregory, unfortunately.
All right, I got a few rapid-fire questions before we get you out of here, Deshaun. Right now, who's your leading candidate for National Player of the Year right now, and why?
I would have to stick with Buddy Hield. You know, Buddy Hield is one of those guys. He's putting the team on his back. They're still a top-ranked team. I mean, I love Denzel Valentine, but until I can really see Denzel Valentine kind of overcome his injury and kind of get out of that slump a little bit, get a little bit more into his own groove, you know, then I would say Denzel Valentine, who's been my top guy, number one, to win Player of the Year. But nevertheless, right now it's got to be Buddy Hield with everything that he's doing, regardless of the loss last night.
Deshaun, how much are the rule changes hurting college basketball? Because that's really been sort of the main conversation coming out of Michigan State's latest loss to Wisconsin. Tom Izzo holding a lot of the blame for why Michigan State lost that game in the area of how Michigan State has just really not adjusted to the rule changes in college hoops when it comes to hand checking and how you can defend down low in the post. Do you think the game is becoming, for lack of better terms, too soft, Deshaun?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a little bit of Tom Izzo's gripe a little bit, because he has those guys, and the way he's been coaching them for years, going all the way back to Mateen and company, it's kind of like football play, you know, on the basketball court. He trains those guys to be able to play physical. So I think it was just a little bit of frustration. I think it's actually making the college basketball game a little bit better, because in a year like this where you don't have a clear-cut favorite to cut down the nets in Houston in April, it's given an opportunity for everybody to be able to, you know, be forced to make those kind of adjustments. I don't blame it nearly as much on the rule changes in college basketball from what happened the other day against Wisconsin. I think it was more or less bad officiating, but I think it's very good because you see so much more scoring in college basketball considering the rule changes.
But, you know, I look at these games, Deshaun, and I look at how the college basketball game is officiated today. And when it comes to the defensive side of the basketball, it's like, How do you expect these players to go out and play defense if they can't use their hands at all? I mean, their hands are tied for the most part. And I think what college basketball wanted to do in this conversation was to make the game appealing by ramping up the offense. Because right now, when you tie the hands of a defender, which is ideally what the college basketball world has done with these rule changes, I mean, it frees up anybody to go out there and score 30 every single night. So people want to see more offense. And I think from a business standpoint, I think it may have been smart to make that move from there. But for a basketball purist like me who likes to see physical basketball, who likes to see good defense being played, it's simply impossible to do that in today's college basketball realm.
I think what you have to do is you really have to find a balance. You know, out there on the West Coast, talking some Pac-12 basketball and things of that nature, it's a little bit more up and down transition basketball, and you don't necessarily see as many defensive stops. Where, of course, in the Big Ten, where everybody here in SEC country and across the nation, I'm pretty sure this is the first time that this has been told. People say, oh, it's boring, kind of like the Big Ten in football. It's really boring. I personally embrace the physicality of the game, but I think you do need somewhat of a balance. And I think being able to learning how to defend without using your hands is not only preparing you for the next level, because it's not nearly as defensive-minded basketball at the next level. So from that standpoint, I think it is training players how to play at the next level, or at least what kind of calls to expect. But it's also forcing players to kind of move their feet instead of using their hands as much, can call for reaches and all kinds of fouls, the whistles being blown by the officials. So I do think that it does have its good and bad, its pros and cons as far as that goes, the rule changes and whatnot. But overall, I think that it is good, and it's time for a change within college basketball. But you do at some point have to let those players play. I just ask one thing of the officials: be consistent. If you're going to blow the whistles in the first half, blow them in the second. If you hold the whistles in the first, then hold them in the second. You're going to go out there and let those guys play. Then by all means, that's where I think you'll see the best brand of basketball.
Deshaun, I couldn't agree with you more on that last point. Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer in Atlanta, Georgia for CBS Radio 92.9 The Game. Deshaun, pub yourself, brother. How can people listen, read, and hear your shows?
You can catch me at 92.9thegame.com. I got all kinds of articles, college basketball articles there, posted there. And, of course, you keep up with 92.9 The Game. You can listen to streaming online. Got free radio app, radio.com. So definitely you can keep up with that. Also on Twitter, that is at Tates Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports. And that's where you can check me out and keep up with all the latest on college basketball.
My man, Deshaun, it was a pleasure, brother. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you for having me.
All right, let's hit our final break of the show. When we come back, we'll have a brief discussion on a certain MSU football, I guess you could say a certain Michigan football commit in which the Spartans are now trying to snub. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Michigan State has offered a scholarship to Cass Tech offensive lineman Michael Onwenu, the number one ranked player in the state, according to 247 Sports. Onwenu, a four-star U.S. Army All-American Bowl participant, has been committed to Michigan since June 2nd. He visited Ann Arbor on January 16th. The Spartans currently have 19 players on the 2016 class, including seven midterm enrollees, but Coach D'Antonio made it clear last week that Michigan State is looking for immediate help on the offensive line. Isaac, fair or foul here? Because the way I look at it, it's just competition within the recruiting realm. I like it.
Fair, until the recruit signs his line on that letter of intent, the hard commit. They're open game. Michigan State has lost players because of this as much as anybody. They've lost it because Purdue and Caleb Swanigan decides to go there after committing to MSU. This happens all the time, 100% fair. Michigan State and Michigan are rivals. What do you expect them to give you a bow tie on the player with them? So, no, keep going. Whoever wins out the race wins the race.
Yeah, I like this a lot. And again, I mean, Michigan State, I mean, looking at, you know, who they're losing when it comes to their line on both sides of the ball, really, specifically when it comes to the offensive line as well. They need some offensive linemen. And going after the number one guy in the state, even though he's set. I mean, again, like you said, he hasn't signed on that dotted line on his national letter of intent. So Michigan State does have, by all means, a lot of headway to go after the kid. We'll see what happens. I found it very intriguing that he decided to tweet that out. I mean,
yeah.
I found it very intriguing that he didn't just keep it in-house. They offered me, but I'm a Michigan commit. That may ruffle the feathers with Michigan, you know, sending something out like that. I mean, he sent out a picture with, you know, the block S there and said, blessed to announce, I've just received an offer from Michigan State. If you're a Michigan commit, it seems like maybe you're on the fence of going to Ann Arbor.
Well, he doesn't seem like he's really cemented into that Michigan offensive line just yet, does he? Because I know that once you make your choice, usually you kind of keep that as your primary school, your Twitter description. You don't necessarily tweet out, hey, thanks to MSU, pretty blessed to receive this offer. No,
right,
I mean,
right.
He's interested.
He's definitely interested. Again, he has been committed to Michigan since June 2nd. And last but not least, I want to end the show on this note. This is something that we will lead our show with tomorrow. But I found this very disturbing when we brought it to your attention on yesterday's Quick Hit Headliners. But there is right now said to have been evidence when it comes to a few tennis players out there. Over the last decade, actually, 16 players who have been ranked in the top 50 have been repeatedly flagged to the Tennis Integrity Unit. That's a real thing, folks. The TIU, over suspicions that they have thrown matches. All of the players, including winners of Grand Slam titles, were allowed to continue competing. The TIU, which was set up to police the sport, said it had a zero tolerance approach to betting-related corruption. This story is really going to blow up, Isaac, and I think it's going to be one that ruffles a lot of feathers in the sporting world, not just the tennis community.
As it should. The only game dirtier than doping is intentionally losing and throwing games, because at least when you're doping, everybody's doing it. You're competing in a fair field. If you throw games, that's a big deal.
Very big deal. Rafael Nadal, his name came up during our show yesterday. All right, we'll continue that discussion on tomorrow's show, but thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks and love to Deshaun Tate. As always, take care, have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.